This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Man, you're just bringing up great points already. Good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. No Piper.
That's what I do.
Right. You just bring up good points. No Piper today, tomorrow, or Friday, or Monday. And so you got Trevor and I just right when the Cubs are unstoppable.
Those two listeners will be happy.
Right?
From out of nowhere, where's Trevor? Nice little ego boost for me this week.
So instead, I've got to sit in a room with a Cubs fan for the next 4 days.
Yep. How does it feel that the Cubs have been the only team in baseball to not have a positive test this entire summer?
Everything's coming up Cubs.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals are just blowing it.
Yeah, we can't win.
Now I'm not going to live this down, by the way.
No, you should.
I mean, we all ripped the Marlins, and now the team that annoys me the most is a part of this. Like, I'm not letting this go.
I saw something on Twitter. It was just a random, like, Major League Baseball tweet or something about the Cardinals. So you had fans of all teams, not just Cubs or Cardinals or not just Central Illinois, right? This was national, and everybody had the same sentiment. Well, you got to rip the Cardinals now. The Cardinals are your team, blah, 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 almost saying like...
Like to Major League Baseball,
yeah,
you're saying?
Yeah. Okay, well, right. To everybody, you know, basically saying, oh, the Cardinals are like the... That's like America's team, so rip them. And I'm
are
like,
they?
Wow, no, I don't think so.
I mean, I don't equate them to like the Cowboys, where if you walk in California, I don't think you're going to see a ton of Cardinals jerseys.
No, you're definitely not.
I get it in the sense of there's always been this thing about the Cardinal way.
That's what we're talking
sort
about.
Sort of like an inflated, like, welcome to baseball heaven type of thing.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And part of it is probably the fact that, you know, there's no NFL team anymore.
Mm-mm.
Obviously, the Blues obviously took some of that attention with their cup win.
Right.
But, Cardinals has always been the tier A thing in St. Louis.
There's no doubt. That is Cardinal baseball, baby.
There's a bit of a, would you call it pompous? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Sort of like a, you know, I mean, hey, and with good reason.
Right.
I mean two World Series appearances in the last decade. I mean, you could just list it. I get it. So it's sort of just like now you have to take your lumps here.
I agree. So. I totally agree. We've got so much to talk about. By the way, on the Cardinals, Tom Ackerman, KMOX sports director, is going to join us at 5:05. We're going to ask him about the reason. I'm going to be full transparent. We're having the hardest time talking or getting somebody to talk Cubs.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Guys are just busy. They're busy. So we're not
Cardinals
ripping.
Guys are busy and they say yes.
But they say, yeah, no. I don't understand it. So Cubs fans out there, we realize you're 9-2. We realize we need to be talking more about you, and we did yesterday. But we can't find anybody to talk about the Cubs, so-called experts, if you will. And in St. Louis, they're just happier people. Well, they're just nicer people.
I found them. They just say no.
Right, they say no.
They basically big-time me, whereas any St. Louis guy's willing to hop. I mean, we've had Chris Raby on 10 minutes before he is on the air.
I know.
On our network.
It's crazy. I mean, Kevin Wheeler's been unbelievable. Tom Ackerman's another one that's going to join us today, and I'm excited to visit with him. I was just thinking, though, and before we get on the Big Ten, Illinois football schedule gets released this morning. I know most everybody has seen it. We've got a Big Ten United Now player that are making demands.
Kumbaya.
Exactly. I mean, it's not really a dialogue. It's just, here's my demand. So we've got that going on, and we'll get to that. But you said that about the Cardinals. The Yankees are the most popular baseball team, right? Who is the most popular football team anymore? Is it still the Cowboys?
I mean, probably from just a brand perspective, it's
probably,
the Cowboys.
Right?
I mean, the Patriots, obviously.
Yeah, I think everybody just hates them.
Right. It's more of a hate watch. Is that what you call it? Like you watch them to hope that lose. Which, you know, frankly, I think a little bit of that is for the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think many people love the Cowboys.
They don't.
Between Jerry Jones talking out of both sides of his mouth and, you know, Zeke is a personality and Dak's been holding out.
Yeah.
Weird. So, I mean, there's definitely been some controversy on that roster as well.
How about basketball? Is it still the Lakers or Celtics?
I mean, the Lakers certainly returned to that with LeBron on the team. But
That's true.
There was a swell there for five or six years after Kobe, before LeBron, where, I mean, they stunk.
They were horrible.
I mean, they were really bad. It was D'Angelo Russell and nobody else.
I would still say, I think, the Celtics. And, I mean, the Celtics have been around. You know, the Lakers used to be in Minneapolis years ago, kids.
That's why it's a lake. I mean, there's no lakes in California.
No.
It's an ocean, not a lake.
Right. It should be the Oceaners. But I think I would say the Celtics would be the kind of the most – how am I trying to say it? It's the most –
We've talked about this before.
We have.
It's like the biggest brand.
Yeah. And then in the NHL, I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm biased, but the Blackhawks are definitely up there.
No, there's no doubt they're up there.
The Red Wings have stunk lately.
Yeah,
but
they have.
Certainly like a brand,
I
right?
I think Canada would have an argument here and would probably go Le Habs, the Le Habs, Montreal Canadiens. So I would assume probably Montreal or Toronto.
I've watched some of that, by the way.
Have you?
The last few nights.
Sweet.
It's purely been out of, okay, the Cubs win. What do I flip to from like 9:30 to 10:30 before I shut it down?
That's cool.
And there's been NHL games on, so I've watched them.
Still blowing my mind that the Blues lost was 0.01. So, you know, that's
our
under
a
second.
Our old friend Harry Black texted me.
Did he?
He said, did Lon see that?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I don't know, but I looked at your Twitter and you had tweeted about it. So I said, yeah, you saw it.
Well, thanks, Harry, for texting me.
Yeah, you like how he went through me to ask
that? It's kind of weird. Like my agent. You're like my agent.
Well, he and I were already talking about hockey, to be fair. Because, you know, he's my hockey guy, obviously.
Right.
And I was basically complaining to him about all the things I didn't understand, which I also told you the other night.
Yes.
Like, why do they keep dumping the puck in? And he's like, well, they gotta keep fresh. You know, those shifts are only 30 seconds.
Yep. They gotta go quick shifts.
I don't think I have a greater enough appreciation for hockey in general.
Probably not.
In terms of ice skating is an Olympic sport in and of itself, right?
Right.
Like that's a whole skill set. But then on top of that,
oh my.
You've got guys hitting you, you've got
stopping on a dime.
And I'm also thinking about the goalie and the goal itself, the
mm-hmm.
net.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in soccer, the goalie is like maybe 8% coverage of the net, right? I mean, he's tiny compared to the net.
That's true.
But in hockey, if you've got a big goalie with pads on, there might not be any space about the net that isn't covered
it's
by the
tough.
Goalie's body.
And athletes are just getting bigger and bigger. You wonder
right.
if one day hockey will have to expand the net a little bit.
Well, what if you parked like a offensive lineman in there? I mean,
right.
He wouldn't be agile.
No.
If he just blocked the entire net, what could you do?
It'd be a funny experiment. I read an article, and then we're going to get into the Illinois schedule. I'm reading an article in Sports Illustrated, and it mentioned that back in like 1917 or 18 or 19, right in there, essentially 100 years ago, Babe Ruth was huge for the average everyday player.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was considered one of the giants.
How tall is he?
And I don't mean like giant of like, you know, mythical. I mean, just physically, he was 6'2", 200 pounds.
That's small now.
Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
If you're 6'2", 200 now, you are a middle infielder.
Mm-hmm.
And Babe Ruth was like the biggest guy in baseball.
Yeah.
And not only just like, I don't think he was the biggest, but he was one of the biggest guys in baseball. And everybody that saw him was like, oh, he is so big. No wonder he hits home runs. And now you look at a 6'2", 200 guy. I mean, I'm 6. Well, I think I've shrank now, but I don't think I ever made it to 6'1". But for a long time in my life, I was 6'1", like 205.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and I would be considered one of the biggest people.
Sure.
100 years ago.
Aaron Judge is 6'8", 290.
Oh, my goodness.
And to be fair, that's an extreme example because he is
probably
that giant today. But he's what? Almost a foot taller than Babe and almost 100 pounds heavier than Babe.
Exactly.
That's how far we've gone in 100 years.
That's the amazing thing. And think about that. I mean, so can you imagine if we continue to evolve like that?
What are we going to be at in the year 2020?
In 100 more years, somebody's going
to
somebody's going to be essentially 7'2 and 400 pounds.
Could be.
I mean, is that right? 6'2 to 6'8 is 6.
Yeah.
6 inches to 6'8 would be 7'2, right?
Yep.
So you'd be
300 to 400.
Yeah, 7'2, 400.
I mean, you're starting to see it with these guys where, you know, the BMI.
Yes.
The thing where it tells you whether or not you're fat. I don't need to know it. I know the answer.
Yeah, I don't look at that anymore.
But, like, if you type in Zion or Aaron Judge on the BMI, it says they're, like, morbidly obese. Because just from a numbers perspective, but it's because of where they've got the weight, right?
Exactly.
Like Zion is thick.
Yep.
But he's like athletic.
Right.
But he's heavy.
He is heavy.
He's a big dude.
He is.
According to the BMI, he's morbidly obese.
That
but
is so
obviously
funny.
You don't look at him and go, that's a morbidly obese guy.
Well,
but
look what Yadi Molina has done.
Yeah.
You know, Yadi forever has been a big guy. And I've never considered him obese, but now you look at him, he looks like he runs marathons.
So is Rizzo, same
and
thing.
And Rizzo, same way.
Rizzo was very thick.
And
but
Schwarber,
now he's skinny,
what Schwarber did a couple of years ago is incredible. All right, now we've got to get to the story at hand, and that's Illinois football.
Oh, it's not the Cardinals having a COVID.
No,
okay.
No. Somebody did say Cardinals swagger. That's what they. That's what we were looking for, or that's what they think.
They did leave the Ghost Hotel this morning.
They did. Yeah, they're back in St. Louis.
Schilt said it felt nice to get out of there. I wonder if they'll have any stories for us upon their return.
We'll have to ask Tom Ackerman about that.
I mean, if guys staying there one night have all these stories, right? And they've been there a week.
Can you imagine? You're like
something
friends
surely
now.
Must have happened. Yeah.
You're friends with the ghost now. In fact, the ghost at that point's creeped out. It's like, are you going to leave or how long are you going to stay
here?
Give
the ghost COVID.
Right. Maybe the ghosts are hiding right now. All right, Illinois football. Of course, we all know that the Big Ten announced no non-conference games, only going to be conference games.
Which, by the way, real quick, UConn did announce today no football.
No football at all.
So, I mean, Obviously that already affected Illinois with the no non-conference. But
wow.
That's one of those athletic departments where... the margins are so thin.
Right.
And if football's the biggest moneymaker and it's getting canned, I mean, I can't imagine any UConn sport in the fall.
It's tough.
Now, of course, women's and men's basketball makes a lot for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree.
But for fall sports, how can any of them play if football can't?
The Pac-12, where does Kansas play? Big 12.
The Big 12.
Sorry. The Big 12 has announced that they're going to allow, I think, one non-conference game. And the reason I know this is because SIU is hoping to play at Kansas, and it would be, I think, a $500,000 game.
Okay.
And so if you're...
I think the ACC was doing the same thing, but it had to be an in-state opponent.
It's too bad that Illinois and the Big Ten can't do that.
I know. Because Illinois State's right there.
Right. Play Illinois State. You already had it on the schedule.
Hell, I'd take a non-conference rotation of Northern Illinois, obviously not as good as they were 10 years ago, but Northern Illinois, Illinois State, and SIU.
You may see that in basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, because in football, understandably, you could play just conference and still get, 10 games in. But in basketball, I mean, you'll play everybody twice, but you need more games in basketball.
Yep.
And so, the ability to play more. I would, too.
If you had, some sort of weird round robin with Bradley and SIU and some other team.
Those schools would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois would be the one that's nervous about that because if you accidentally lose.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But you could have DePaul, you could have Western, Southern, Illinois State. You could have a lot of those teams, Eastern. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really fun. But anyway, I know Southern. So think about that. If you're SIU... and you're in the midst of, you just had a $500,000 payday at Wisconsin that was canceled, and now all of a sudden you're able to pick up the Kansas game, which kudos to their athletic director. She did a wonderful job. I can't think of her name right now. But anyway, so now Kansas is trying to decide what game they're going to keep, I guess. And so it's Southern's not out of the woods yet in terms of that game, but I hope it happens. And I told Andrew, in a perfect world, we always make a road trip. We went to Ole Miss a couple of years ago. Last year, we just kind of got lazy and went to West Lafayette. I told him this year, maybe Bloomington, Indiana would be a cool trip because it's easy. Or if Southern plays at Kansas.
That'd be cool.
That would be a fun trip to go to Lawrence.
Well, I remember that Ole Miss game.
Yes.
It must have been at the same time that Illinois was playing a game.
It was exactly the same time.
I was at the game, and during halftime, they're scrolling through all the scores.
Southern
and it
was
said,
winning.
SIU 42, Ole Miss 30, and I'm like, holy crap, because I just assumed, that you were going down there for the atmosphere more so than the game itself.
There's no doubt, man.
Now, they ended up losing, right?
Yeah, they got hammered.
But I remember seeing that in the first half, and I thought, oh my God, he's not only going there for the atmosphere, but he's getting a good game.
Oh my, all the fans around us, I had my Saluki gear on, all the fans around us were we were laughing before the game. I'm like, hey, be nice to us and this and that, and halfway through the second quarter there's guys in front of me going, my Lord, we're getting our kicked by SIU Carbondale, and I'm like, I hear you, man.
Anyways,
and I'm loving it.
That would be a cool trip.
Yeah, it would be. I think Lawrence would be cool. You could check out what's the basketball,
the Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, the Fieldhouse. So I know they've got a display you can go look at. So that might be fun.
Yeah.
I know a trip to Lawrence, Kansas really has never been on my list of to-do, but it'd be kind of cool to go see that and go see
Southern.
Well,
and it might be dictated by COVID.
That's the thing.
If, let's say, I don't know, Nebraska is the only Big Ten stadium that allows fans, that might be your road trip this year if you want to go.
Isn't that crazy? All right, let's go through this Illinois schedule. In fact, we've teased it long enough. Why don't we take a quick break?
Okay.
I apologize to everybody, but I do want a lot of people's thoughts on the schedule. I hate it.
Both the schedule itself, the construction of the schedule, the chronologicality of the opponents on the schedule. We've got a lot of different thoughts.
The fact that you had a chance, you had 1 in 3 chances, I think, to play a team out of the East.
It would have been either Michigan State, who's in their first year with a new head coach and rebuilding.
Right.
Who you've also beat twice under Lovie.
Yep.
Maryland, who, I mean, we like Loxley, obviously, as a guy, but they are not good.
You'd be favored in both those games.
Or Penn State.
And guess what?
Ding, ding, ding.
You're playing Penn State. And, of course, that's the case. Now, Wisconsin, they don't have to play Penn State. Good for them. Good for them. In their quest to win the West, they can go through Maryland instead of Penn State. So, essentially, Illinois, on their schedule, has two of the best, probably six college football teams in the country, in Penn State and Ohio State, and they are your bookends on a schedule. We'll talk all about it. 359-2255, 217-359-2255, if you want to weigh in. Find us on Twitter, by the way. You can search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms. Find us on tayandpiper.podbean.com, stevyj.com, stevyjay.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can watch us on YouTube. Some people have been saying it's been going in and out, but I think it's back now.
It's freezing.
Interesting.
So I'm trying not to have any kind of a dumb look that then would freeze the YouTube for about 3 seconds.
Well, I think the problem lied with the fact that there were supposed to be Cardinals games this week. And obviously we can't stream when there's a Cardinals game because we get in trouble.
Thanks a lot, Cardinals.
So that was pre-programmed in to be blocked out.
Okay.
And now we're trying to undo that, so maybe that's why it's
got it.
Hitchy.
Yeah, I was about ready to say the same thing. Kind of hitchy.
Anyways, just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Back to talk Illinois football and the schedule after this. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
The Long Branch is open. The Long Branch is open. Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford is now reopened for indoor seating. Stop by and let Donnie cook you up terrific steaks, burgers, pork chops, ribs, and so much more. The wait is finally over because Long Branch Steakhouse is now open for indoor seating. And with their full regular menu available, you simply can't go wrong. Stop by Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. and let Donnie give you a meal you won't soon forget. At 310 South Main Street, downtown Gifford.
These days, business as usual is anything but. Through Busey Bank's financial relief program, we're offering help to business owners, along with individuals and families, in this time of need. We're in this together, and we're here to support the vibrant communities we're honored to serve. To learn more, visit busey.com/financial relief program or contact our team at 1-800-67-BUSEY. Busey, your partner today and for generations to come. Member FDIC.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Hey, Mom, school is starting. That means another list. Add it to your grocery, chore, and the list in your office. If you're moving this fall, you don't need another list. You need Two Men in a Truck. Let them take care of the moving list for you. Go to twomenchampagne.com and let the movers who care do it. Two Men in a Truck. That's a smart move.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Yeah, let's dance. Not you. Not you and I.
You and I. Nice lead into the U of I.
Ooh.
Community Credit Union's Do More Good campaign, all about campus and community. Out of all the businesses signing up to our business bounce back at CVJ.com, the winners were/are Dr. G's Brain Works.
Okay. They got like a lot of games.
They
stuff.
Do. Yeah. Yeah. It's in the mall. It's a cool
That's
place.
That's a cool place.
The Vintage Edge Barber Shop. I could definitely use a haircut.
I need that right now.
And KC Home Solution LLC.
Well, and I've got tasks all over my
you
house.
You need some solutions to your home.
Exactly. Yeah.
They were chosen as our winners to get $1,000 of free radio ads on the station. Thanks to all who entered as we get our local businesses to bounce back here at Stevie J Broadcast.
That was an incredible idea by the U of I Community Credit Union. I think that's a great idea to help people out. Because right now, as we know, unfortunately, a lot of businesses are struggling to stay afloat, and they just don't have all the money in the world to be advertisers for us.
Well, and it's been the weirdest thing where it's so one side or the other. Right? Like,
right?
I'd have to imagine, and I don't know for sure, but I'd have to imagine a place like a grocery store might be having their best year ever.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Right? Because especially early on, people were thinking they would need a month's worth of food. There was no toilet paper on this. You know. So I've got to imagine a place like that, or maybe like a garden center, right?
That's
like
exactly
a Lowe's
right.
or a Home Depot or so. Like, they might have their best quarter ever.
Your local hardware store. I know my buddy Darren Gillis runs Gillis True Value down in Villa Grove. And he said, he's like, you know, a lot of people were doing projects during the COVID. And so you're right. I mean, on stuff like that. And, you know, I always tell people this, too. I mean, I don't go out and sell advertisement. You know, I leave that to the professionals here. But I always tell people right now is a great time to advertise because you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck.
Sure. And
right
you
now.
Want people to know that you're maybe reopened.
Absolutely.
Or something like that, right? Where someone might assume, and I've done it.
Yep.
Where if I'm thinking about a local restaurant and I'm like, I don't know if they're open, you know, you Google it and it doesn't tell you on Google if they've been affected
or
not.
Right.
And so you have to call, and if they don't pick up, you don't know. So, I mean, it's definitely an opportunity for that.
It works. I know our buddy in Gifford, Donnie, who runs the Long Branch. Every time I hear that commercial, I start to salivate. I don't know if but it's like I start to salivate knowing he's got ribs 30 miles away from me. And it works because it puts me in the mind that I need to get to Long Branch. Advertising does work, I'm telling you. Okay, that's enough of that.
Wow, thanks for that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen. I mean, this is a great chance to advertise and get a lot of bang for your buck because, you know, until everybody kind of fires back and we're loaded up again with all of our great sponsors, right now is a good time to do that. So, and if you do that, make sure you tell Stevie or whoever that I need the commission. I'm kidding. I don't even know how that works.
Are you undercutting me on that?
I don't even know how that works.
They'll call me and you'll get the money. I see what you're doing.
I really honestly don't know how that works in this business. So, all right, Illinois football schedule, the new schedule has been released, and it cannot start any tougher.
That is correct. You are Thursday night, which is interesting, night. Obviously, everything's out the window in terms of precedence here.
Okay. I think Indiana and Ohio State did this last year, didn't they?
Well, they did it on a Friday,
Okay.
But I don't think they did it on a Thursday. The Friday night game is Indiana-Wisconsin.
Oh.
At Wisconsin.
That'll
but
be a good game.
There's a Thursday night game, Ohio State at Illinois.
Okay.
And before we dive into it, what you and I were saying is, I don't know if there's going to be an earlier college football game.
That might be the first game of the year.
I think the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are the two leagues that have yet to release their modified schedule.
Is the Pac-12 even going to play? Or
I have no idea.
Are there kids just opting out there?
Well, they're unified. That's
they're unified. Now the Big Ten is.
But from the looks of it, Ohio State and Illinois may be the first college football game. If you pretend that it's going to happen,
right?
If you operate under that assumption, and if you operate under the assumption that fans will be allowed in, which they still seem to be operating under.
20%.
6 minutes of Whitman audio, by the way, of him talking about that for later in the show.
Okay, I'd like to hear that.
And he talked about tickets and all that. But if you operate under that assumption, it might be the first sporting event with fans in the United States, right?
Holy cow.
I think, maybe.
Well, NASCAR.
Okay, all right.
NASCAR, you're right. But what they did, though, is they allowed a bunch of. When they had fans for one race, I could be wrong. I know the Indy 500, no fans, but NASCAR invited in like 1,000 people, but it seemed like they were frontline workers, maybe.
I'm not sure, but it was after Bubba, right? Because after he raced, he went into the stands and there were a bunch of people there.
I think that's right. And I think it was basically for nurses, doctors, police. It was like the front line, essentially. They just said, hey, we want to allow you to come in, social distance. And again, I don't know why I can't be at Busch Stadium watching a game Friday. It makes no sense. I can go to the mall.
I think they just don't. I get it, right?
I can go over to Meijer.
I know.
In give me an hour and a half. I can go over there and I'll be in a store with 50 people in a little, I mean, it's not a little, Meijer's huge, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
But I can't go to Busch Stadium and sit
right
a whole section from you.
I think it's more of an optics thing than anything else.
It is.
I really
Plus,
do.
You got to have people to get me in, sure. So now they've got a risk.
I think it's just more of...
And just open the door. Just anybody free. Come in.
Well, that would be a mess. I mean, they wouldn't know who's coming in. They wouldn't know how many people are coming
true.
In if they
that's
just open the door. But no, I get it. I mean, we've talked about it before, and
that's
I don't want to get too deep into it.
No, I don't either. I'm sorry. I went
No, but I mean, you're right. Like, you know, you have to wear a mask into the restaurant, but then as soon as you sit down, you can take it off.
Right.
And it's like, well, if we're operating under the assumption that I have COVID, let's say.
Correct.
It doesn't matter if I didn't spread it by the front desk.
No, exactly.
If I sit down and take my mask off and cough and yell and spread it all over the restaurant.
That's just them wanting to keep their liquor license.
It's
or
an
them,
optics thing. It's
yeah,
an optics thing.
That's them playing by the rules. Same thing in Florida when I was down there. I started to walk in. The girl goes, I'm sorry, you got to have a mask. I'm like, oh, okay. Go back and I grab my mask. I walk in with the mask on, take one step and notice nobody else has a mask on.
Right, because you're
inside.
So
I immediately take it off.
Yeah, right.
And I was actually outside at a bar,
okay.
So it was weird. Anyway, okay, so
anyways,
Ohio
I
State.
Digress. It might be the first football event that has fans.
It's incredible.
If there's no earlier college football games, and if fans are still going to be allowed in at that.
And I've got a chance.
At that juncture.
If I'm at that game, I've got a legit shot of making it on national TV.
Oh, for sure.
Because there's only going to be like 10,000 of us.
You just need to do something noteworthy, whether
right.
It's like hold up Andrew or paint something on your chest.
I can't hold him up.
And it's guaranteed that you would be on TV.
That would be awesome. What date is that?
That's Thursday, September 3rd.
So we are less than a month from that game.
Yep. 4 weeks away from Illinois football.
It's so weird how the calendar is just flying by. I mean, you know, like we don't even know. Is school starting? I mean, you know, we don't. I mean, it is. But
I mean, they're planning on having the students come back, which, again, makes me shudder to think that
weird.
40,000 people will be entering this community in a few weeks.
Like,
but
we are a block. We're a month away, less than a month away from the first Illinois football game.
And it's a weird juxtaposition where Rutgers has canceled everything.
Right.
Northwestern has canceled everything. It kind of feels like right before the MLB season where the Blue Jays didn't have a home.
Oh, that's true.
And I was sitting there going, we're 24 hours away from the season starting, and the Blue Jays don't know where they're playing.
Are they just in a plane circling the United States like, trying to figure out who wants this?
How in the world is this going to get done in time?
Right.
That's my thought. And yet, somehow, it just got done.
It got done.
So it's the same feeling here where you go, how in the world in less than 4 weeks are we going to have training camp, everybody on campus, everybody test negative? How is this going to work?
I don't know.
But it might.
Because the kids have been
I
here.
I hope it does.
A lot of the players have been here.
Yep.
I do, too. And they're going to start practice, I believe, Thursday.
Yep. Not
so,
open to fans or media, obviously, because they
sense.
Don't want any outside sources, which sucks for a guy like Jeremy
well,
or
no
someone
doubt.
Who's going to cover it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I get it.
Well, he had a great article today in Illini Inquirer, about kind of the schedule. And Jeremy went with the idea of, all right, just we realize the schedule's harder than heck, but embrace it. Just embrace the fact
and
that
I
you could have
that,
a couple
right?
upsets.
I mean, I saw someone tweet, they could play Alabama 10 times and that'd be fine with me because it's just something.
Exactly. No, that's true. Can I get it off my chest, though? I had this Illinois team winning 8 games this year.
You were high on them.
And the biggest reason for that is you got a quarterback back. Number one, you didn't really have that good of a quarterback for a lot of years.
And no consistency
no
either,
consistency.
Right? It was year to year, everybody was someone different.
It was like the next year you had another average guy, and then the next year was a different, another average guy.
I mean, it was O'Toole, and no offense to him.
No.
It was
they were
Crouch.
They're average quarterbacks.
It was Bush, it was Lunt. I mean,
yeah, and A.J. was decent, and Lunt had some good things.
Sure, but A.J. was only there a year.
Correct.
So you learn that system where it's very run-heavy.
Yep.
And then the next year, Peters comes in, and it's the opposite.
That's exactly right. And so you have a quarterback back for year two, and you have weapons on offense now, big time weapons.
A lot of them.
And your tight end room might be one of the best in the country, if not the best. I don't know. That's probably going a little far. But you've got 3 legit starting tight ends in the Big Ten, and all 3 of them could be on the field at one time. And the key to it all is you have an offensive line. And I have spent hours talking to Fred Wakefield about offensive lines. You have an entire offensive line back minus one, and you're bringing in a kid in Gerasati who is very experienced.
Well, FCS All-American should probably equal 5th starter on the Alabama line,
that's
right?
That's a great point.
More or less.
Or at least.
I mean, I don't know if that's.
two or three years.
Pro Football Focus rates them as one of the best in the country.
It's huge. And if you have that and you can protect your quarterback and open holes for your running backs, then you are going to score a lot of points. And I think Illinois will score a lot of points. Now, I understand defensively.
Well, they might need to score a lot
of
points.
Exactly. Especially up front. But I love the secondary.
Yep.
I like the linebackers.
You've got the transfers in Derek Smith from Miami.
Right.
Trayshon Smith, right, from Louisville.
That's
Those
right.
are both Power 5 starters.
Exactly.
I mean, that's got to count for something, right?
So you've got all of that. And I just really thought that Marquez it was all going to come together. Yeah, plus Beeson back. I thought it would all come together and you could win 8 games this year. And now, and I get it, we're all boo-hoo, we're all in the same pot together with regards to just wanting to play sports. I get that. Listen, I'll be excited if they start the season, right? But as I look at this schedule now of just Big Ten teams and the fact that you've got Penn State and Ohio State on the bookend, on either end of your schedule, that's 0-2. I'm sorry.
Now they're both at home.
I know you could win those. That is the one thing, and we'll get through this here, is it seems like your really tough games are at home, and the games that I think that are winnable are on the road. So I don't. Would you rather have, listen, I'd rather go to Penn State and Ohio State this year and just welcome in Indiana and whoever else.
You'd rather just like jettison the games that's already a wash.
Correct.
Right.
And I know that Illinois pulled the biggest upset in college football last year, beating Wisconsin. I know that they can do that. They are not going to beat Ohio State and Penn State. I just don't think they are. Now, it would be incredible.
If there were ever a time to beat Ohio State, right?
Right now.
In terms of maybe, let's say, a few of their guys opt out.
True.
Let's say a few of their guys have COVID.
I mean, good Lord. Three of the top five NBA or NFL draft picks were Ohio State guys.
Yep. But, I mean, you know, and that's going to be their first football action.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even training right now because they shut it down a few weeks ago.
That's true.
So I'm not saying it's going to happen.
No, I know.
And I'm with you. But if there ever were a time for it to happen, it would probably be in a weird scenario like this, right?
Was it Joe Burrow? Or was it Burrows?
Burrow.
I feel like my mom when she adds an S to things, like Myers.
Myers, yeah.
Like, are you going to run over to Myers and and I'm like, Mom, it's Meyer.
Just say, Mom, I'm not going to multiple Myers. Right?
Correct. So I didn't know if there were multiple Joe Burrows.
No, it's just Burrow.
Okay, so you had Burrow, who was at Ohio State, transferred. You had Chase Young.
Yep.
So you had the top two picks in the draft were former Ohio State
guys. Had Okuda.
Yeah, and then
right?
Okuda was
the fourth pick.
Fourth, yep. And projected to go three. He went fourth. So you had two guys that played for Ohio State last year. So they lose them. They do
maybe,
have Fields.
Maybe he went third.
I think it might
have been
third.
The top three that were once Ohio State
that's
players.
Crazy. Yeah. I think that's right. But they do have Fields back.
Yep.
So Ohio State is loaded. I can promise you they're loaded without even looking at their roster. You know they're going to probably be the preseason number one pick. I don't know. It'll be what?
They'll
them
be top
or Clemson?
Five, yeah.
Or LSU. But LSU loses. I don't know.
LSU loses a ton.
I bet Ohio State will be the number one pick.
Let's see. According to, what is this, the AP, the College Football Preseason Top 25, Clemson is one.
Okay.
Because apparently they don't lose much.
Got it. Trevor Lawrence is back.
Ohio State's two.
Okay.
So the Buckeyes won't have J.K. Dobbins at running back anymore, but Ohio State will continue to have a potent ground game with five-star Master Teague.
Oh.
That's an interesting name. Master Teague. And dynamic quarterback Justin Fields. Okay. The defense loses star Chase Young and others. But five-star Sean Wade is among those returning and is expected to be a top NFL draft pick.
I mean, they walk into a running back room at Ohio State, and they're like, all right, of the three five-star guys in here, who's going to win the job? I mean, it's okay, now where's Penn State on the AP?
I don't think they're in the top 25.
Penn State?
I mean, they went, what, 8-4 or 9-3? I mean, they're good, but I don't know if they're top 20 good.
Are you sure?
Let me look.
I thought they'd be ranked top 10.
In the country?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Oregon, Oklahoma, Florida, Auburn, Notre Dame. They're 12.
Okay.
I guess I stand corrected. Penn State, 12th. Clifford goes into his second year as starter. Tight end Pat Freiermuth, and a group of dangerous running backs with new offensive coordinator Kirk, the guy from Minnesota.
Yeah, he left Minnesota to go there.
Ciaraca. Not surprisingly, Big Ten hopes come down to how the Nittany Lions do against their gauntlet of, well, it doesn't matter now because the schedule's different.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness we got them instead of Maryland.
So you got two top 12 teams to bookend your season at home.
Yeah.
But to go back to your larger point before we dive into it.
Okay.
You and I were talking about how weird it is that the order of the games makes you feel so much different in terms of your confidence.
Yep.
Because really, there is nothing different about this schedule except Penn State.
Yep.
Nothing.
No.
The rest of the schedule remains completely intact, but you shuffled it up.
Yeah.
It's like taking a deck of cards and shuffling it, and then suddenly you feel completely different about it.
Well, and you said that, and listen, I had Illinois winning 8 games. 3 of those were against non-conference.
Yep.
So I only had Illinois winning 5 games in the Big Ten.
Right.
But that was 5 against what, 8 opponents?
Well, it was front-loaded, too, remember?
Instead of 10, right? I mean,
Purdue and Minnesota at home early. Yeah. You had Rutgers on the road early. You felt like you had to be 6-1 or 7-1.
Exactly. Wait, do you play 11 or 12 games? What's wrong with me?
You play 12 games.
So it would have been 5 out of 9 wins. I had them.
Yep.
But now, if you win 5 games, you feel like, even though that's what I thought they would do in the Big Ten, now, if you win 5 games, you're kind of 5-5, and you're just kind of like, eh.
I mean, I'd love it if they were 5-5 with the schedule. I mean, I think that's an accomplishment. But my initial reaction looking at this is like 2-8.
I know.
And I don't know why I feel that way, because it's the exact same schedule plus one team.
Well, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this pessimistically and optimistically. All right? Are those words optimistically?
Yep. Yeah.
So let's look at it from the pessimist side now. All right, so you just rip through it, and I'm going to tell you what games they're going to lose.
Ohio State at home.
0-1.
At Nebraska.
Probably lose that somehow, 0-2.
If you're going pessimistic, you're definitely losing that.
0-2.
At Indiana, 9 wins 0-3. Last year. Versus Purdue.
1-3.
Versus Iowa.
1-4.
At Northwestern.
Well, you couldn't beat them last year. 1-5.
At Wisconsin.
1-6.
Versus Minnesota.
Well, they're going to be ranked in the top 20. 1-7.
At Rutgers.
2-7.
Versus Penn State.
2-8. So that's the pessimist.
But like, if you ran it back that exact same thing with just the conference opponents with the other schedule, I don't think we'd say 2-8.
I don't get it.
Is so interesting about the psyche of this.
You're exactly right. Okay, now I'm going to look at it optimistically. Okay.
Versus Ohio State.
0-1. Sorry.
No, I mean, that's fair. At Nebraska.
1-1.
At Indiana.
2-1.
Versus Purdue.
3-1.
Versus Iowa.
4-1. You know, I got a beef on that one here in a minute.
At Northwestern.
5-1.
At Wisconsin.
5-2.
Versus Minnesota.
6-2.
At Rutgers.
7-2.
Versus Penn State.
7-3.
I mean, pretty much polar opposites in terms of the optimistic and the pessimistic.
By the way, on the old schedule, now keep in mind, because of COVID, this is probably never going to happen, but the old schedule had
pull it up real quick. But
Iowa, November 7th. And I told you guys last year, I circled that date because Illinois is going to beat Iowa this year in football. So that, then, I found out was Parents' Weekend at Arizona State.
That's right.
And I have not made one yet, and I told Lucas I would be there this year. So I'm like, gosh dang it, I'm going to miss the Iowa game. Well, now that they've reshuffled the schedule, look when the Iowa game is.
October 10th.
Yeah.
That's your birthday.
My birthday is the 9th. So I'm, I think, going to be in Florida.
But wait, isn't the stat that the
But they're always away games, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And it was Nebraska.
Yes. It's incredible what the games they've won on my birthday.
So if we're going pessimistic, we said 2-8, right?
Yes.
Okay, now let's go pessimistic, and this is the order of the schedule that it was.
Okay.
At Rutgers.
1-0.
At Nebraska.
Well, 1-1, but I still think Illinois is going to win that game.
Versus Purdue.
2-1.
Versus Minnesota.
2-2.
This is pessimistic, right?
Okay, 2-2.
At Wisconsin.
2-3.
Versus Iowa. You still think they're going to win that game, right?
I do think we're going to beat Iowa. 2-4. I mean, they're replacing a quarterback.
At Indiana.
2-5.
Versus Ohio State.
2-6.
At Northwestern.
2-7.
That's my point, though, is you get to the same result.
I know,
but you feel different about it for some reason.
Because you're 1-0 out of the gate.
Because you're 1-0 automatically out of the gate. You're 4-0 automatically out of the gate if you keep the non-conference, whereas essentially the difference here mentally to me as a fan is that you have had the rug pulled out from under you and flipped your feeling towards the beginning of the season.
That's a great point.
From automatic 4-0, well, not automatic. I mean,
no, but
as close to automatic as it gets.
Correct.
To now you're going Ohio State at Nebraska at Indiana. It's like, holy cow. I mean, how is that not 0-3?
There's a really good chance you're 0-3.
You could be a good team and lose all three of those
games. There's no doubt.
Ohio State could win the national title.
Yep. I think Nebraska's the one game.
Sure.
I think Indiana is better than Nebraska. Right.
But, I mean, at Nebraska is kind of daunting if they do.
I think Illinois wins that game. I really do. So, I think, okay, now let's look at it from a studious point of view here.
A realistic one?
Yeah, let's make an educated guess.
Okay, all right. Ohio State.
0-1.
At Nebraska.
I think you can go in and beat Nebraska. You have to shut down that quarterback. He's the only reason they beat you last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their number one receiver is gone now.
You should have beaten them anyways because
you should have
the missed call on the pass interference
right
at the end of that game.
Taylor Martinez, is that his name?
I want to say that's
like
his name,
that.
But I thought that was the guy that used to be there a long time ago.
Well, I know. I think it is. They've uncannily had, I don't think that's a word, they've had two guys that are like the same name.
It is Taylor Martinez, the current guy.
What was the other guy?
No, wait. The former guy is Taylor Martinez.
Okay.
So who's the current guy?
I don't know.
Nebraska quarterback. This is embarrassing.
Surely they haven't had this. They don't have
Adrian Martinez.
Adrian, okay.
There's two Martinez's, which
that's
is the
what
problem.
It is. All right, so 1-1. I think you can go to Nebraska and win that game.
I think I would sum this up as if you include at Indiana, you have to be at least one of those two games
yes
is a win.
And I think you can beat Indiana. Look, Indiana won 9 games last year, and Indiana's good. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not terrified of Indiana like I am Ohio State.
Sure.
So let's say, I think educated guess, you win one of those two like
so
you said.
So you're 1-2.
So 1-2.
Just call it 1-2 after the first three. Purdue at home.
2-2.
Iowa at home.
I think you win that. 3-2.
That's your swing game, right?
It really is.
In terms of if you're 2-2 going into that game, after that you're facing Wisconsin, Minnesota. That's tough.
Yeesh. So you'd be
3-2.
3-2, and then you go to Wisconsin.
At Northwestern.
Okay, hold on. You've lost me now. So what would we be after Iowa?
3-2.
3-2. Then you go where?
At Northwestern.
You win that game.
If you're 3-2?
Yeah. You're 4-2.
Okay. At Wisconsin?
No.
I don't think there's any chance you're winning that game.
4-3. They're not going to be
almost
happy.
As ridiculous as it sounds, I would almost cross off that one before Ohio State.
I see that.
In terms of they're at home, they hate you for what you did to them last year. Like, I just think there's no chance you're winning that game.
4-3.
4-3. Then you come home to Minnesota. That's another swing game.
You're at home. If you're that good, then win the game. 5-3.
Fair enough. Rutgers.
6-3.
And then Penn State.
6-4.
That's good.
That would be
incredible. That's darn good to win 6 conference games.
Oh, my goodness. If you won 6 conference games with this schedule. It is deemed, by the way, the 8th toughest schedule in the United States.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw that today. So, there you go, Illinois fans. I wonder what their schedule was deemed the old schedule. Because you had 3 of the worst Illinois State. You had 3 of the easiest non-conference games you've ever had. Ever. I mean, by the whoever seeds, or not seeds the teams, but
yeah,
you young kids and your sabermetric stuff.
I've got it right here, the strength of schedule rankings for this year. First of all, Purdue was the toughest in the country.
Wow.
Apparently. I'm not sure who they had for non-conference.
This is the old schedule?
This is the old schedule.
Okay.
Where's Illinois?
I mean, you had 3 gimme wins.
They're 48th.
Okay.
So they went from 48th to 8th?
To 8th.
Okay.
Now, granted, it's because you're only, I mean, everybody in the Big Ten is going to have a hard strength of schedule because you're playing all these other really good teams.
But, I mean, a team like Wisconsin draws Maryland.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of Penn State or Michigan from the other side.
That's huge.
And a team, basically all the good teams got crap opponents and all the supposedly bad teams got really hard, tough opponents.
Right.
In their crossover.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, it does make sense. It actually does make sense. All right.
So we're saying like somewhere between 4-6 wins. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Because we landed on 2, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
In terms of pessimistic, realistic, and optimistic.
Yeah, my optimistic had us winning 7.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the home games real quick are Ohio State to start the year on a Thursday night.
Yep. Then you're away for 2 weeks and then back home against Purdue.
I'm going to challenge Josh Whitman to stop me from tailgating that night. You know, not only could he beat me up so easily, it's not even funny, he can outrun me. He's in shape.
That's true.
I have no defense against Josh Whitman.
It's going to be tough for me to not get super duper hyped about that game if that truly does become the first college football game.
Why couldn't that be Minnesota and Illinois or Purdue and Illinois? Because then you'd go into it realistically thinking you're going to win the game.
Even Penn State.
Yeah,
right,
even,
like with that Friday night game where you felt like you might have a chance. But this is just deflating to consider the opponent.
This could be a really good Illinois football team, and you could be beaten by 30 points.
Yes.
against Ohio State.
Correct.
I mean, because that's just what they do to teams.
Yep.
That's the next level that they're on. There are only a few teams that live in that stratosphere. It's mm-hmm. LSU, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. I'm forgetting somebody. Nobody really out of the Pac-12.
No, yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Oregon used to be in that stratosphere, but not really lately.
Not anymore.
It's gonna be tough to tell people no, you can't come in, let's say, and no, you can't tailgate. If what if it's like Kirk Herbstreit and the game day crew are here, right? It's the first game of the year.
Mm.
Of course, you do have the lingering thought in the back of your head that you're not going to win this game.
If Illinois upsets Ohio State,
look out.
I'm saying this to all the law enforcement out there and Josh Whitman. If Illinois defeats Ohio State, I will be in my spot in lot 31. I will be standing there drinking a Bud Light, and I'm going to at least get the one beer down before they tackle me.
So I should plan for a guest co-host on September 4th.
How much bail money do you think you'd need out of something like that? Or would they just be like, Lon, let's go.
That is,
and
an
you
interesting...
know that I would immediately be like, if a policeman got within 30 feet of me, I'm like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, you'd definitely go with him.
I would.
That is an interesting. How could they? I'm trying to think like a field rush.
Oh,
if there's 12,000 people in the stadium,
that?
I mean, obviously you can put the guards at the gate and say don't come. But if everybody rushes,
that would. Mm.
I would hope that most people would have enough common sense and decency.
Yeah,
to not,
I agree.
Because if you do that and it is the first college football game, you're ruining it for everybody.
Right.
Or like you're going to get all attendance canceled. Right. If you do that. So I would certainly hope that enough people would have the common decency to not do that.
But. Have you ever thought that you'd be the one guy they'd stop?
If there was a rush?
Yeah. Like, have you ever thought of that? Like, I would be the one dude that as we...
You mean like the scapegoat for the group that would get caught?
No, just like a security guard just can only grab one.
Oh, and he grabs
and
you.
And he grabs me. And I'd be like, are you serious?
So you're the one person punished for the
Correct.
Entire group effort.
I just have always thought that when I see kids rush the court now in college basketball, I'm like, I would be the one dude that they would accidentally grab. And I'm like, oh, hey, Mom, it's Lon. I'm in jail.
Can you call me out?
What are you in jail for? I rush the court. What?
Only other thing to note is that there will be two bye weeks instead of one. So you're going to have a bye week after the first four games, then you're going to have five more games, and then a bye week before Penn State.
Okay.
And, of course, all of this is interesting in the sense of will bowl games even exist?
All right. What's and if they do, can you have four wins and go?
You're going to have to, though, because I don't think enough teams are going to be good enough to get you five wins, right? At least a third of this Big Ten is probably not going to get to above 500 just because they're cannibalizing each other.
Yeah, I totally agree. Lance says, tailgate like crazy in your front yard, then project the game on a screen so you can watch it outside. If you want to pay $9 a beer, I'll come by and take it. Wait, well, I think that's what he means.
So like a home theater setup.
Or maybe you just put, if you want to pay for a beer, I'll come by and take it. There you go. Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. your pessimistic is way too pessimistic.
2-8.
2-8.
I mean, that's what pessimism is, though, right?
I mean,
unrealistically negative.
What were the two wins? Purdue and Rutgers.
Yep.
And ESPN, I think, had Illinois winning three games.
I mean, you can't tell me if this is a true nightmare scenario that you get blown out by Ohio State, then you go to Nebraska and get your butts handed to you, then you go to Indiana and get your butts
you
handed to you.
You haven't beaten Nebraska in a while, have you?
No. You're 0-3 at that point. You can't tell me that this team might not spiral out of control.
I totally agree.
That. And I don't want that to happen, and I don't think it's going to happen. But.
Charles says, come on, guys. We will beat Iowa at their own game this year. Tons of tight end action and runs for chunks of yards. Collective score of the game will be less than 40. I could see that.
Got some over-under action already here.
Yep. Is this the dare to nightmare scenario instead of the dare to dream? That was our dare to nightmare. That's good. That is good. All right. Well,
most people seem to be saying 4 or 5 wins.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean... Doesn't that just sound bad? Because
it does, and I don't know how we're
conditioned
gonna,
that if you win 4 or 5 games, and if you go 5-5 with that schedule, it's
darn good.
That
is what
a
it is.
Really good season.
But how do you evaluate that?
I
have no idea what to do with Lovie. Not like I have any choice in the matter, anyways.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I'm going to go with this. I mean, is it just an incomplete? Grade after this? Like, how do you properly evaluate?
Well, and this is what I was trying to get to earlier, and I squirreled and went off. When I said Illinois is going to win 8 games, here's the deal. This doesn't happen around here very often. that we go into a football season thinking they're going to win more than they're going to lose. How often in our lives, and I'm talking to everybody out there listening, how often has Illinois football gone into a season
where you know
pretty much that they're going to win more games than they're going to lose? That does not happen very often.
Probably on one hand, right?
Right.
In terms of the number of times you could say.
There was the 80s.
But I'm talking like, you know, they're not going to be any worse than 5-7.
Right. So you have a season where you've got all of your offensive line. I mean, one of the best offensive lines in the country. You've got a fifth-year quarterback, right, that I think through all the
Michigan and Illinois. He's a top half of the Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no worse than Tanner Morgan, who got Minnesota to a top-10 team in the country last year.
You have the pieces in place to have a really good year. And then this crap COVID came along. And now not only do you not get to play the non-conference games, but now you've got Penn State on your schedule when you didn't have Penn State on your schedule. And now you start with Ohio State, which I guess it doesn't matter where you play them. You're still playing Ohio State, and you would have been playing them in the old one. It should, like,
I get it.
Some teams, some fan bases can just say, that stinks, but we're going to be really good next year, like Wisconsin or something. Illinois doesn't have that chance very often. And I hope that Lovey is continuing to build this.
But this is the culmination of what he's built.
Right.
And the fact that it, A, might not happen at all.
And it just,
or B,
correct.
The best part of that culmination would be going 5-5. I mean, don't get me wrong. That'd be awesome. But I think someone just pointed out on the text line, too. It's like, it'd be awesome. But then at the same time, if you kind of self-evaluate in a macro perspective, we're going 5-5 and we're saying that's like the best year ever.
I know.
That's kind of sad.
I know. Yeah.
And I don't want to go too far here, but this collectively should be your best year of athletics in forever.
There's no doubt.
And if both basketball and football were to just somehow not play, I mean, look, nobody's sticking around again.
No.
There's no way in hell Iowa or Kofi are sticking around another year if nothing happens this year. It would just stink so much to know and think of what could have been and wasn't.
Why do I always play this?
I gotta take it out of there.
38 chances, and I pick this one every day. Honestly, though, if you had the old schedule in football, if COVID wasn't a thing, you'd have a chance to win 7 or 8 games.
Maybe 9.
And maybe 9. And then you have a chance to be a Final Four team in basketball.
Yep.
That would be, in 1 year, collectively, one of the best years you've ever had. Oh, man.
Well, it's hardly ever been concurrent, like a Rose Bowl team and a Final Four team. It's hardly ever lined up that way.
Back in the 80s it happened, but I don't know. It stinks. All right, Tom Ackerman, KMOX Sports Director, to talk Cardinals baseball.
Speaking of things that stink.
It's The Drive. Listen to Blinding Lights along a little bit longer. Yeah.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.